Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass here at the KVOI studios. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, April the 27th, 2017. I did not like what I was hearing from Ed Alexander about that windy forecast for the next 48 hours. That will give, that will not help. The situation with one of the largest wildfires now in the United States, 40,000 acres burning near Sonoyta. It's a huge fire, and the windy weather certainly won't help the situation. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, and of course we do live stream our show, which means if you're around a computer, you can hear this program anywhere in the world at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. Anytime during the hour, you are welcome to give us a call. Our live line number is 790-2040 for your calls, your questions, and comments. On Tuesday, Turkey stepped up its bombing campaign against Kurdish militants outside its border, killing as many as 20 United States-backed fighters in Syria and expanding its strikes in Iraq. This escalation could complicate efforts to combat the Islamic State. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the former United States Ambassador to Turkey, W. Robert Pearson. Ambassador Pearson is in Tucson to address tonight a dinner meeting of the Tucson Committee on Foreign Relations. That organization was founded here in Tucson back in 1965 as a forum to address pressing problems in international relations. Ambassador Pearson represented the United States in the Turkish capital of Ankara from 2000 to 2003. He was the Director General of the U.S. Foreign Service from 2003 to 2006. He's a scholar at the nonpartisan, nonprofit, Washington, D.C.-based Middle East Institute. That organization was founded in 1946. He focuses there primarily on Turkey, with particular emphasis on U.S.-Turkey relations. Ambassador, how are you?
I am fine, Bill. Nice to be with you today.
Boy, I wish we could have given you some better weather. I often wonder about folks like you who are in town for only a day or two, and they see kind of the ugly side of the weather here. It can be bad when the winds really blow and the dust kicks up. Luckily, it's not like this the rest of the year or most of the year. Sorry you had to see it like this. Anyway, with the situation of the airstrikes, the air raid by Turkish fighters on the Kurdish militants, how might that complicate efforts to combat the Islamic State?
It is going to complicate efforts, Bill. It's really a shot across the bow, I think, for both the U.S., who've been working with Kurds in northeastern Syria, and the Kurds in northern Iraq, and the Russians, who have also reached out to the Kurds to try to help them control ISIS. Turkey is not as interested in defeating ISIS as it is in controlling the Kurds, a large number of which whom live in southeastern Turkey. So it is going to complicate matters, and it might be a signal by President Erdogan to President Trump ahead of their visit in May or June about the flexibility that he intends to show in dealing with the United States on the Kurd-U.S. Cooperation issue.
Before we get to Erdogan, I want to, since we are talking about the Kurds, is there a way out of the confrontation between our country and Turkey over Syria and the Kurdish situation?
There is a way out. There's been a way out for a while. The way out would be for Turkey to help everybody defeat ISIS. Imagine, let's say, I don't think it's going to happen, but let's imagine that you had a regime change in Damascus and ISIS was still in existence. You would still have a major war going on. So the priorities really ought to be, let's get rid of ISIS. And once we've got all the bad guys we can, out of the picture, especially ISIS, then we can go to work on what to do with Assad. The Turks have never seen it that way. They insist that dealing with the Kurds and others, including Assad, have to come first. And despite a lot of conversation over several years, they've not yet changed their mind. But they could, and if they did, that would be the way to solve this problem. Let's get rid of ISIS, and then let's turn to finding a way to peacefully end the war in Syria and bring additional security to Turkey.
Let's leave the war in Syria for the time being and talk about the story that's been on the front page of papers around the world, certainly for the last 10 days, about the Turkey's main opposition party, as early as yesterday, said it would be challenging the outcome of the country's April 16th referendum on expanding the president's power at the European Court of Human Rights, a day after a high court rejected its appeal. What do you make overall of that whole referendum? Was it flawed?
Well, I think that the evidence that it was flawed is higher for this referendum than it has been for any other election in modern Turkish history. The one thing that Erdogan has been able to show in each of his previous wins is that it was a legitimate win, even if people strongly disagree. For the first time now, that legitimacy is actually under question, both from the Europeans, who pointed out that there was no level playing field in the actual campaign before the referendum, and secondly, because the voting authorities in Turkey allowed unstamped, unverified ballots to be used to include in the vote count. So both of these things are serious issues, and therefore, for the first time ever, the legitimacy of an election in which Erdogan has played a major part is in question.
Who is this President Erdogan? Can you kind of explain his background to our listeners?
Yes, he grew up in a middle-class, lower-middle-class neighborhood in Istanbul, and he came up the hard way. He was a soccer player for a while. He worked in retail stores. I asked him once what his first job was. He said he sold ladies' handbags in a retail store in Istanbul. So he's come up the hard way, and he is not part of that educated English-speaking elite that Turkey has produced over the years and which often Americans see. So he has always been a scrapper, and he's always had deep religious identities. I don't know how convinced he is personally, but he's always included Islam in his approach to politics, and he was a very successful mayor in Istanbul, a city of maybe 15 million people at that point, and he just kept rising within his party to become prime minister in early 2003. So he has had serious run-ins with the establishment, I'll call it, in Turkey over many years, and he has no sense of leniency or generosity or forgiveness toward those people who treated him and his family very harshly.
So you met him while you were ambassador?
I did. I was ambassador in 2002 when his party won the national election for the first time, and then he became prime minister not long after that, and so I did meet with him on a number of occasions, and therefore I feel like I know him reasonably well.
Is he a dictator, or is he moving more and more that way every day?
Well, I think, Bill, by our standards, he's a dictator. He controls the Turkish press completely. There's only one independent newspaper left in Turkey. There are no independent TV or radio stations left in the country that are not under his control already. He, with this referendum, now will head the government and the party, so there will be no party dissent from within his party about anything he does. He's going to appoint more than 50% of the Supreme Court judges. so there'll be no accountability before the law for him after this occurs. He can appoint all of the cabinet without asking for any parliamentary advice, so there'll be no review over the choices that he makes. And he can choose to dissolve the parliament if he wants to, and therefore he will be able to choose all the candidates who will run on his party's list if that happens again. And at the moment, Bill, he has emergency decree powers, which allow him to prolong the emergency situation he's had in place since the coup last July. So really, by our standards, he is a dictator. If I could just add,
sure.
By his standards, Bill, he thinks that Turkey has been subjected to so much chaos over the last 20 years in the parliamentary system that it has weakened the country. He thinks that he is entitled to make all of the decisions for Turkey, which he calls democracy, on the basis of having been elected by a majority of over 50% in the last election. So his theory is a lot like the Muslim Brotherhood theory, that the community is the sovereign, and once the community has formed a majority, that one person, the rulers, can exercise all of the community's powers without any restraint.
All right. When we continue in the second portion of our program with Ambassador Pearson, is President Erdogan moving closer to making Turkey an Islamic state? That's next, 790-2040. Any questions for the ambassador? He'd be delighted to answer them. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, State Senator Steve Farley will join us. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Matt Russell with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is former United States Ambassador to Turkey, W. Robert Pearson, who is in Tucson in advance of a dinner meeting tonight of the Tucson Committee on Foreign Relations. The ambassador now is focused primarily on Turkey from his position as a scholar at the nonpartisan, nonprofit Washington, D.C.-based Middle East Institute, which was founded back in 1946. Ambassador, I think one of the big questions then is President Erdogan moving his country closer to making Turkey an Islamic state?
I think that if he were able to do so, he would. But he has a lot of cultural constraints on him. Almost half of the population bitterly opposes what he's done. They lost the referendum and they've lost previous elections, but they actually are still relatively stable in terms of a percentage of opposition to him. And he will probably wait until he has consolidated his power as president under this referendum before he takes any additional moves toward making Turkey an Islamic republic. But it is a possibility, but I think it's a little bit too early to predict that that's what's going to happen.
Since the beginning of time, Turkey has been a crossroads of East and West. It's so important to the United States. How would you characterize Turkey's relationship? Are they really an ally of this country?
Since really the end of the Cold War, and especially in the last 10 years, Bill, Turkey has taken a more and more independent stance, and we see this every day now. So they are a member of the NATO alliance. There is a great deal of cooperation that takes place within that alliance on a day-to-day basis that is helpful to Turkey and helpful to the United States, but mainly to Turkey, and I don't see Turkey giving up the NATO alliance because it does provide them with a voice in Europe. It provides them with international stature. They're the only Middle East country that is a member of NATO. But in terms of being an ally, I would say they will remain a nominal ally of the United States, but they will pursue an independent course in their choices, as they have done over the last 5 or 6 years.
All right, let's go to our live line. Zach has a question for the former United States Ambassador to Turkey, W. Robert Pearson. Go ahead, Zach.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Ambassador, my question for you is, what are your thoughts about the failed coup attempt against Erdogan? Do you believe he orchestrated it as a means to gain more power, or do you think Gulen, who's in exile, had a part in that? What's your take? Thank you.
Well, Zach, thank you very much. That's a $64 question. the truth is that there are rumors out there that Erdogan engineered the coup attempt himself, but there are enough indications to the contrary that I think that it's probable that he didn't. There are charges and have been charges that theological leader in Pennsylvania, Mr. Gulen, was behind the coup. He does run an organization that is closely knit, and he has enormous support and loyalty from his followers as a religious leader. But there is no smoking gun evidence that the Turks have been able to provide that he is responsible for that. So it's still in the zone of uncertainty. What is true and what was true before the coup and after is this enormous turmoil inside Turkey among people who wanted to remain on the track of a Western-style democratic state and a secular democracy, a process that had been going on for decades, really 75 more years, and those that wanted to change that process, those that are associated with Mr. Erdogan. So there's no doubt that he took advantage of the failed coup attempt to further consolidate power, to purge the government, the academic institutions, banks, businesses, police forces, everybody he wanted to get rid of, sometimes on the premise that they were supporters of Fethullah Gulen, the guy in Pennsylvania, and sometimes just because he had the power to do so. So whatever was the real truth, the coup attempt proved to be an enormous springboard for Erdogan to further consolidate power.
A lot of Americans would like to visit Istanbul. It's one of the great cities of the world. Is it a dangerous place, or is it somewhere that that Americans can still visit and not worry that much about being a victim of some kind of a terrorist attack?
I'd be careful. The U.S. Embassy there has put out several warnings about terrorist attacks. There was a horrible attack on New Year's Eve in Istanbul at a nightclub. There have been attacks on open streets in Ankara and in Istanbul. So I would not say to someone, don't go, but I would say be careful and look carefully at the warnings that the State Department puts out about travel there. It's never known the Turks to be deliberately impolite or hostile to American tourists, but even if you cover that risk, you still have the risk of some unexpected terrorist attack in the country.
Ambassador, what is your feeling? I know you still have a lot of contacts at the State Department. Is there a big turnover? We've been hearing there is going on right now. It is certainly a transition time from to the Trump administration putting a lot of his own players in ambassadorships. How would you characterize it from what you have heard, sir?
Well, Bill, at the moment, it's more of an empty seats problem than it is a turnover problem. There are a lot of empty positions at the State Department which haven't been filled and need to be filled. And frankly, there are a lot of very experienced career Foreign Service officers who could fill those positions. The administration seems to be concerned about influence that the State Department may have, and the Foreign Service officers, like myself, we staff about 270 missions around the world on a 7/24 basis. And I and my colleagues feel very strongly that we're the servants of the American people and that we're out there to help protect Americans, help expand markets, help people understand what our country does and why. And so there's a lot of disappointment and frustration over the fact that the budget's apparently going to be cut, staff positions are going to be reduced, and it actually will do harm to the American people. We're convinced.
All right, Ambassador Pearson, thank you very much. And we can talk again. I'm glad we've established contact with you. You're an excellent source, certainly, on Turkey and what may be ahead. Real quickly, to summarize, do you think this court battle against the referendum is really going to go anywhere? Or is it going to hold up?
No, it won't hold up in Turkey. In the European Union, something may happen, but that process usually takes years. So it's really just an expression of the frustration and the conviction that there was something not right about this election, and that part of it won't disappear.
All right, Ambassador, thank you very much, and welcome to Tucson. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 now on The Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our mid-session break. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. This portion of the program presented by Jan and Jack and Green Things. They're my favorite Green Thing people. They do such a great job with their 13 acres over there at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. If you're into gardening like I am, they've got these free workshops. Everything you need to know about irrigation and gardening, that's going to be Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Green Things. You can find out more at greenthingsaz.com. Joining me in studio, and I quite frankly have not seen this gentleman in studio with me since he was a candidate for superintendent of Pima County Schools. He was a successful candidate. He won. He's with us now, Dustin Williams. Dustin, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing fantastic. How are you, sir?
Well, I may not have seen you over the last 100 days or so, but a lot of teachers are seeing you as you make your way through a lot of schools. What's your portfolio look like? How many schools are you kind of overseeing?
So basically, we look over the public 17 district schools.
17 districts?
Yeah, that'd be like AMFI and Tinka Verde, okay, and TUSD and so forth. And we have been charging full steam. We've been in a total to today, in the last 100 days, 47 schools.
Whoa. And didn't you make a pledge right here on the Buckmaster Show that if you were elected, you would try to visit every school if possible?
That's the pledge that I made, and that's the pledge that I'm walking today and doing. And I really believe that the superintendent needs to be in these schools, congratulating these teachers, lending a hand, and being as visible as possible to discuss the issues and talk about the concerns, and then relay those back to our constituents and our communities.
And when you meet with the teachers in these schools, what is the consistent message, Dustin, that you hear?
Show me the money. I need some help. There, you know, Dustin, what can you do? What is going on in the legislature? I don't have the money for the supplies that I keep using out of my own pocketbook. I need help. We really need help. And it's tough. It's tough because you're watching them in a class of 30 students, and they're working harder than anybody that I know in any profession. They're working 24 hours a day, and they're tired. They have second jobs. And the profession really, really right now is in crisis level. Teachers are leaving. And we really need to help this out as much as possible on all levels.
We're hearing about I think the governor did sign that, making some of the requirements a little bit easier for teachers. Will that impact what you're doing?
That will impact us just basically on the certification process.
I wondered about that because you're involved on that end of it, the paperwork end too.
Yeah, that was Bill 1042 that came through, that got passed. And basically, the outline of that is if a professional has been in the business in a certain particular field, maybe robotics or engineering, this would allow them to not go through the regular certification process that a teacher goes through to become certified and then become a teacher. Kind of maybe a quick fix is the idea to get people into the classroom, but quite honestly, the concern is the expertise is one thing, but the pedagogy of a teacher is the other. Understanding how to deal with classroom management, understanding how to put classroom lesson plans together. Those are what are concerning to us. We want to make sure that these professionals in the classroom just aren't the experts in a field, but are the experts of dealing with children and our students, which are the most important part of our lives in the future and today.
Now, you have no impact in your role on the charter schools.
Correct. We do not. Mm-hmm. We do offer services, which would be in the form of professional development for the charter schools.
The voucher-like program that probably will move forward and get passed, I would suspect, out of Phoenix. Can you give us some of your personal views on that?
Yeah, so the voucher program has been extended and been opened up. It's a hard one for me personally to swallow. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in taking public dollars and putting them into private schools. It's nothing against private schools. I love the private industry. I love the aspects of private schools. But, I mean, year to date, or actually, so if you looked at last year's totals, $5.4 million was taken out of Pima County public dollars to the school. So that's a large amount of money. Matter of fact, 2.2 of that came directly from TUSD. So those are real dollars that are moving out of the public sector into the private sector. And those are dollars that help with textbooks, that helps with supplies, that helps with a warm body in the classroom, a teacher. And you lose those dollars to the private sector, and it gets tough. And I'll tell you the real reasons why it gets tough, more on the professional level.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into the private sector, we talk about one thing with vouchers is accountability. And with the private sector, the accountability when it comes to academics and it comes to finances, we can't watch. And those are hard. When we see the accountability of finances and academics in the public sector, that's very transparent, especially in our district schools. We try to make that the most transparent as possible. But in the private sector, you lose a little bit of that transparency. And so what the public needs to know is that the voucher program is literally a Bank of America debit card that you would receive in the mail to put towards your child's tuition at the private school. You give that to enough people, and ultimately you're going to have error, and you don't know what's going to happen to some of those dollars. And that's the concern that we have in the voucher program.
And the 17 school districts, you've got a lot of ground to cover, correct?
Yeah.
You're all the way out to Ajo?
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Matter of fact, just having a discussion today with Ajo, and that exact discussion was they need some help in their capital funding. They need supplies. The teachers are not making a lot of money and coming out of pocket. And so we're looking to kind of get out there as soon as possible and put together a big fundraising effort with the business community. And hats off to the business community right now all around in Pima County. They have been great. They are looking to extend their hand. But what we really need is the legislature to come forward and lend the hand that they need to and put the dollars where they need to go from the budget, which is in education.
Wasn't there like a dollar a day for teachers or something that's going to be coming their way?
Yeah, I think it's a cup of coffee, yeah. You know. And those are the tough ones because the teachers, they, you know, we love the discussion of any type of money that's coming in. But at what point does it become a slap in the face to the teacher? And that's the way they really feel, to be honest. If they want to raise, it needs to be something that's going to be significant. Teacher starting salary in Pima County, approximately $31,000 a year, averagely $37,000.
You've been there. You've been in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. In the classroom. I've been a teacher and administrator for highly certified for 9 years.
Was it math you taught?
Yeah, I did some STEM school.
Mm-hmm. So overall, we've got certainly the vacancy at TUSD gets all the attention. Are there some others of the 17 districts, or are things fairly stable in your purview?
Well, you've got some neat changes that happened in Tanca Verde with Scott Hagerman, and you've got Todd. Yeager. Yeager just got
at
Amphi. So you've got some neat changes that came through, and a big congratulations to Dr. Trejo, also out getting appointed at TUSD.
Have you met with him a couple of times?
Yeah, we actually just recently had a great discussion as far as how can the Pima County School Superintendent's Office become a good hand, a good helpful hand for TUSD in the future as far as what the vision looks like over there. And
I hear good things.
Ideas.
I hear good things about him.
Yeah, you know, he's a very nice man. He accepted our meeting, of course, and we brainstormed some ideas as far as transparency and what the new TOSD wants to look like going forward. And he's open for ideas, and that's the first start, and that's what you need, is someone that's going to be open for ideas.
What's left on your agenda besides visiting all the rest of the schools? You've got a lot.
Well, and that's what it is. Right now, it's just continuing the momentum of being in the schools, continuing the momentum of meeting the legislators up in Phoenix and building that rapport, and really just kind of putting together a plan that I have down the road, which is kind of neat, which would be maybe some sort of teacher economic development plan that I've kind of been crafting a little bit with the supervisors, and some neat stuff. We also just did something pretty neat. We signed a proclamation for Teacher Appreciation Week, and the Board of Supervisors backed us up, and we actually signed that in last week.
So. And when will that be?
Teacher Appreciation Week officially from now on will be the first week of May, the 7th through the 13th, and we are looking for businesses, especially restaurants, if they want to come aboard and join us, and TVT, Tucson Valley's Teachers, is going to help out as well. We're going to do some neat stuff for the teachers during that week.
I think that's a good time of year. I was going to, when I asked you, when is it going to be, I was going to say, well, it's probably going to be the beginning of the school year, but I think maybe some kind of appreciation and award is more appropriate at the end of the school year.
You said it out. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Dustin Williams, good to see you again, Superintendent of Schools, Public Schools,
so
here
much.
In
glad
Pima
to be
County.
Here.
And we'll talk again as you get ready to roll out your pet project, this economic development plan for teachers.
That sounds fantastic. Thanks,
Dustin. All right. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Ten minutes towards one on this Thursday afternoon. Windy, a little bit dusty, and certainly not helping the situation with that big forest, wildfire, not so much forest fire, but certainly what they call a wildlands fire down near Sonoyta. I want to tell you about the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. It's coming up over the Memorial Day weekend. Great chance to sample what Silver City and Grant County, a beautiful area of our region, has to offer. Ghost Town Blues Band out of Memphis will be the headliners. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many things to do in Silver City and the great places to stay as well. Pam Ruggieroli is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Pam is the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors, and over the next 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to get an update on the Pima County real estate scene. Pam, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very, very well. Did I pronounce your last name somewhat close?
You actually did a great job. I'm very impressed.
All right. Thank you very much. Should we be impressed with the way the market is looking, our real estate market?
Well, I think we should be. Things have definitely improved over the years and are looking even better this year.
And what do we know as far as the latest numbers from March?
So our median sales price is up. We're up about 2% from last month and about a little over 8% from this time last year and almost 11% up from this time in 2015.
How about average days on the market, Pam?
The average days on the market is currently about 47 days on the market, depending on the price range you're in.
That's a drop, I believe, a little bit from the previous month-to-month or year-to-year, March-to-March, correct?
It is. It is. It's a slight decrease from last month and a little more from this time last year, but not a huge decrease. But definitely in most price ranges, we are in what we would call a seller's market.
And why is that? What makes a seller's market? How do you define that?
So how we define a seller's market is basically we use months of inventory instead of days on market, and a balanced market is about 6 months of inventory. Anything below 6 months is considered a seller's market, and anything above 6 months is considered a buyer's market. We currently up to about 350,000. Our majority of our price brackets are anywhere from 2 to 3 months of inventory.
Where are the areas that homes are selling well right now in Pima County, Pam?
Actually, we're selling well all over the place. Of course, we do have some specific pocket areas that are not selling as well as others, but for the most part, the majority of all the areas are doing well.
New home sales climbed to an eight-month high in March nationwide. How does that impact Pima County, Pam?
So definitely increase in new home construction, and reason for that is limited inventory in resale. And really the only way we can increase our inventory at this point is if we get some new construction or if we have investors that are holding on to numerous properties at one time, if they were to put those on the market. So definitely would expect to see an increase in new construction.
Are we getting, how does the new home buyers, are the new, the permits, the permitting, that usually gives us an indication on how things are looking as far as home building, and how have those permits been for builders pulling permits for new homes?
We have seen an increase in that, not a rapid increase, but we have definitely seen an increase. We'd like to see that increase at a faster pace so that we can correct our inventory issue.
One of the issues was foreclosures, and I see here that foreclosures in the first quarter of 2017 fell to pre-recession levels in Pima County and nationwide. That's got to be good news for our market.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anytime we can keep homeowners in their homes, it's a good sign. Currently, our distress market, which would include foreclosures and short sales, is about 8%. And when we were in the middle of the economic downturn, we were close to 50% of distressed properties. So definitely a great positive sign for all of us.
The business you're in had a very difficult time, certainly during the recession. Many realtors just packed it in and went on to other things. How does the industry, how is it shaped up in Pima County right now? And you personally, how has it been for you, Pam?
Well, it's been excellent for me. And, you know, I consider myself one of the survivors during that time period. It was not fun to sit across the table from a homeowner to hear that they were underwater on their home or in jeopardy of losing their home. So it's much more fun to help people on this side of things versus having to help people go through the process of losing their home. So it's definitely been great for me the past couple of years. We started seeing the light at the end of the tunnel a few years ago, and we're definitely out of that tunnel now. You know, but our biggest issue now is inventory. We got to figure out how to increase our inventory. We have you know, over 4,800 members, and we have about 3,700 active homes for sale.
And what would you be comfortable with? How many active homes? What would be a really good balance, do you think?
Oh, good question. You know, I'd like to at least see one per member, you know, in our association, but definitely with, you know, our numbers are down like 22%, over 22% from this time last year. So if we could get a, you know, even a 10 to 15% increase in active inventory, I'd be thrilled.
Well, let's go back a little bit to a seller's market. If someone is thinking, well, this is the time, they've waited a couple of years and they want to sell the property, their home, what are some advice that you would give to someone that that wants to sell a home? What are some of the things to keep in mind, please?
Well, first of all, if they're staying in Tucson, make sure there's something out there that you can buy, because the last thing you'd want to do is sell your current home and not be able to find something to purchase. And if you know, if you've satisfied that, then, you know, what I'm finding, buyers are looking for clean, neat, and move-in ready. If you're priced right and you're in a good location and you're clean, neat, move-in ready, you should be able to get what you're asking for in your property.
All right. Pam Ruggirelli, president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. And Pam, how long have you been in the business? How many years?
I got licensed July 2001.
Okay, so you're what they call a real real estate veteran. How's that?
Okay.
Thank you,
Pam.
I
like that. Well, we could use the word seasoned. How's that?
How's seasoned? That is very good. Pam, I hope you have a great day and a nice weekend coming up. Thank you very much.
Bill, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Pam Ruggiarelli, president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. And I think the picture's looking better. Some inventory issues, but overall, my goodness, look where we've come from in the Tucson real estate scene. So things on the upswing. Well, we have a lot of local talk still left to go here on KVOI, including from 4 to 5 this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike is the host of the program, and then he is very ably assisted by Ray Allen as his producer-engineer. And this afternoon, I believe they'll be talking about downtown, what's been going on, kind of an update with Rio Nuevo and the whole downtown scene. So that's coming up this afternoon with Mike Shaw. Mike does a great job on his program, Mike Check. And then we do 3 hours of local talk, 6 to 9 in the morning. It's Wake Up Tucson, Chris DeSimone, the host of that program. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. Want to promote what's coming up on our Friday program. We call it our Friday Focus. In the first half hour, we have a newsmaker who's usually here with me in studio. Sometimes it's telephonically, and I'm joined by a reporter from one of the local papers. That it will be Dan Scheer tomorrow. We'll talk with State Senator Steve Farley, and that will be at 12:04 tomorrow. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Great afternoon and evening to you.